الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, mothers, sisters, beloved youth, the esteemed listeners of Radio Al Ansar, Sirius FM, and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As my colleague Maulana Khalid Yaqub mentioned, tonight is an auspicious night. It is Laylatul Jumu'ah. So we are expected to do certain actions on this night or tomorrow morning, inshallah, Allah give us tawfiq. We all know, just now I visited my honorable Ustad Hafiz Ibrahim Limalia. So he was asking his son-in-law and grandchildren, he said, which city never sleeps at night? Meaning that it is awake all the time. So everybody started wondering. So the person told them, you don't know the answer. They said, no. He said, electricity. Electricity don't sleep. But in South Africa, it sleeps with load shedding, you know. So we must remember, make shukr to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, that inshallah, load shedding after the budget is a thing of the past. But see the lesson, my brothers. If you understood nothing in today's lecture, at least understand this one hadith. There's one dua and there's one hadith. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qara'a surat al-kahfi yawm al-jumu'ah, adha'a lahu min al-nur ma bayn al-jumu'atayn. Whosoever reads surah kahf on Friday, tonight, tomorrow, Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala will bless that person with radiance, effulgence from one Friday till the next Friday. Imagine in this world, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours, we don't have electricity, we don't have noor. The wife, the husband, the children, everybody is upset because the whole timetable changes and people complain, this blew up and that blew up. What will happen in the qabr? What will happen on the day of justice? So Surah 66, verse number 8, O esteemed listeners, Radio Al Ansar, Sirius FM, Markaz Sahaba, each one of us on this Mubarak night of Jumu'ah, learn this dua, Surah 66, verse number 8. Rabbana atmim lana nurana waghfir lana. O Allah, you perfect for us and complete for us our nur, Ya Allah. Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, the great giant of his time, was asked, what is the definition of nur? He said, الظاهر لنفسه والمظهر لغيره. That when you have light, when you have nur, then you kindle and you light up another light, one candle, another candle. So that is the light we are speaking about. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's very mission and message. Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 1. He's teaching us, what must you do, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Take the people out from the darknesses in which they are groping in, and bring them towards the nur and radiance and effulgence of Islam. So that is what will happen. So Allah give us tawfiq tonight, tomorrow we read the entire Surah Kahf. This is authentic hadith in Sunan Nasai, my brothers. Secondly, we should be reading abundant durood sharif, salawat, salutations upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam tonight, tomorrow. This is the command from the master Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. Akthiru alayya min as-salati yawm al-jumu'ah. Read abundant durood sharif, salawat, salutations upon me on a Friday. We heard the word durood, durood sharif so many a time. What does durood mean, my brothers? It is a word in Farsi, in Persian, and it refers to the bumper harvest, the bumper crops we have. The farmer is smiling ear to ear. He's going to make maximum amount of profit in minimum time. So when we read salawat, salutation, durood sharif, we reap the maximum benefit in that short period of time. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love and our love for the Master alayhi salam will increase. Our iman will be enhanced. The greatest gift for the greatest of Allah's creation on the best night, the best day of the week. And that is Laylatul Jumu'ah, Yawm al-Jumu'ah. So that is the secret of reading abundant durood sharif, salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the night of Friday, the day of Friday. Thirdly, my brothers, we should be reading Surah Yasin also at night. Many a time we only read it Fajr time, before Fajr, after Fajr. That also, Ya Allah, give me more barakat in my business. So it's fine, make other intention as well. Imam Malik rahimahullah in his Muwatta has mentioned a hadith. Qala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam man qara surah yasin fi laylatin ibtigha wajhi Allah. Whosoever reads surah yasin at night after maghrib, after isha, any time, solely only for the pleasure of Almighty Allah jalla wala, ghufira lahu, that person will be forgiven. So we have the night, we have the opportunity, so let us take the maximum benefit inshallah. Secondly, my brothers, we know, we heard today our Mawlana Naeem Mutala, his father passed away, and we were there for the janazah. So every day we are hearing, this person passes away, that person passes away. So we all should make dua, may Almighty Allah grant the marhum Mawlana's father and all the other marhumin Jannatul Firdaus. What should we be doing, my brothers? You live here right by the ocean. So this ocean is giving you a lesson. See how Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam encapsulated it. Gave the example. Al-mawta kal-ghariqil mutaghawith. I'm sure you in Durban, you witness it with your own eyes. The people who have passed away, they are now gone. What is their parable example? They are like the person who's drowning. And he's screaming, shouting for help, help me, help me, help me. Now how can we help the deceased person? Three things we can do, my brothers. Each one of us. Number one, we make dua. Many of us sitting here, we lost our parents. All of you who lost your parents, they left this world with Iman and Islam. It's our duty as children, grandchildren, for our grandparents as well. Surah 14, verse 41. These are verses we should learn by heart. Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. رَبَّنَا فِلِّي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Oh Allah, forgive me. Forgive my beloved parents. Forgive the believers. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Ya Allah, the day the reckoning will take place. Imagine. What a beautiful, powerful dua. People send me email, WhatsApp message. They say my father, mother passed away. I'm making so much dua to see them in the dream, but I'm not seeing them. So I always write this ayat for them or give reference and tell them, read this daily. Inshallah, in short period of time, you will see your beloved parents in the dream. We lose a brother, we lose a sister in Islam. So what should we be reading as Muslims? This is our duty. To show we are one ummah, we have the unity and solidarity. Surah 59, Surah Hashr, verse 10. These are verses we should learn, my brothers. Surah 59, Surah Hashr, verse 10. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان. يا الله forgive us. Forgive our brothers, sisters who passed away before us with Iman. So imagine what beautiful, powerful, potent du'as mentioned enshrined in the noble Quran. But alas, we have not learnt it, my brothers. I told you Surah Yasin. Ma'qil bin Yasar radiallahu ta'ala, who is the reporter, he states Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith, mentioned in Musnad Ahmad, mentioned in Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah. I'm giving you all these references. Because today we have certain people, Allah forbid, they are telling people you can't read Quran Sharif for the deceased. And this is something which we, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, agree on. We have consensus on it according to the four schools. The Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanafis, the Hanbalis, we all agree. Remember Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Iqra Yasin ala mawtakum. Read Surah Yasin for your deceased. So each one of us, we lost our beloved mother, our beloved father, our son, our daughter, sibling, whoever, near and dear to us. So read Surah Yasin. Make that intention, Ya Allah, in Kibal Bal Maghfirat Farmade. Ya Allah, in Kujannatul Firdaus Ata Farma. Don't ask Allah only for Jannah, my brother. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهِ فَاسْأَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ فَإِنَّهَا أَعْلَاهَا وَأَوْسَتُهَا. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif. Allah says, جب آپ مانگتے ہو, when you beg and beseech Allah, don't ask Allah for Jannah only. Ask Allah for Jannatul Firdaus. This is the cream of the crop. This is the most important portion and part of Jannah. So when Allah is prepared to give us the best, why are we asking for the second best? So always ask for Jannatul Firdaus. Second, third one, my brothers. Sa'd radiallahu anhu came, Ya Rasul Allah, my mother passed away. What must I do? Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-ma, water. He went himself. Open Mishkat Sharif, you will find. Fahafara biran faqala hadi li ummi Sa'd. That he dug up a borehole, a well, and dedicated it to his beloved mother. So each one of us, whilst we are alive, make that intention, this well, this borehole, this wuzu khana, this step, whatever it is for me, for my beloved parents, for my children, those who have passed on, those who are alive, those yet to come. When we address you, the sisters, you're still expecting. So I tell them they are there in Makkah. I say, make one tawaf for your unborn baby. This is what Islam is teaching us. You are giving that tap, that borehole or whatever. Make intention for your children yet to come. So all this is acceptable in Islam. Isale sawab is not confined to the deceased. You can make intention for the deceased, for those who are alive, and likewise those yet to come. So this is our Islam. I always joke with people, I say when I meet them, I say, brother, I made Umrah for you. I told him, I made Umrah for you. For all of you, we made Umrah. This last Umrah we went, I asked my wife, we're going from Jeddah now. So what intention you making? So she just smiled, she knew I got some trick up my sleeve, you know. So I told her, see, make this intention from Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam right up to Sayyiduna wa Habibuna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam for all the Anbiya alayhi salatu salam and especially the Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi salam. We performing this Umrah and every ummati of these respected Anbiya alayhi salatu salam who are Muslim from now, in the past, present and future till the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah, you have given us this opportunity to come to Baytullah, so we make tawaf for the entire human race and jinn from time of Adam alayhi salam right to the last Muslim baby to be born. So may aapki jab mulaqat karta hu aange mulaqat cheti ta jo ba ki vyadi na kar jao aina umrah kari kari usi. So I made one umrah for you. So Allah says wa rahmati wasiyat kulla shay, my mercy encompasses everything. So that is the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So imagine, why don't we make these intentions, brothers? So this was introduction because it's Jumu'ah and inshallah tomorrow we will be there in Masjid An-Nur in Melanson. So we will speak more about these type of issues and inshallah now we start our topic and that is to do with Thailand. Alhamdulillah, my brothers, it was on the 22nd of January this year, 2019, Tuesday. My wife and myself, we left from here, and then we went via Dubai, and then from there to Bangkok. So, mashallah, it was a very nice flight, everything. Nowadays, we do something, because my wife, you know, she got a little bit back problem, and it suits me fine also. So I just put her in a wheelchair right through, you understood? Wherever we go, wheelchair. Yesterday we came, I asked her, you need wheelchair? She looked at me, see, I just called the wheelchair. So even for me it's good, we don't have to stand in no long, long queue, they just take you, vasesi, you know, from the back, everything. So quick, everything happens. So mashallah, right through wheelchair, so they looked at us, South Africa, very good, come this side, 500 in and out, visa given, so no problem. So when we landed there, it was Wednesday morning, so one alim, Maulana Bilal, he studied in Pakistan from Thailand, so he came to receive us. First time I met him, I have some students there, but they were all busy and they were busy other places. Nevertheless, so we went to Mirath Hotel. Mirath Hotel is a 4-star hotel, belongs to Muslims, is one of the upmarket hotels. But when I saw the name, the way they wrote it, they wrote the Mirath Hotel. M-E-R-O-Z. So I was wondering why, they said, no, in Thai language they spell it like this. Miras means, I started finding out and making some inquiries, what happened, how come they named the hotel Miras Hotel? He said that no, the father, dada, grandfather passed away, they inherited millions, and they said, let us use those millions so that we can serve the ummah and we can also make money out of it. So mashallah, they built a very beautiful, smart hotel, you know, halal restaurant and what have you. So it was Wednesday morning and we had a lot of the, you know, whole night traveling and what have you. So as there was a program, they say, whole morning you rest, and alhamdulillah, the program will start after Zohar. So I said, very good, it suits me fine. First program we had, my brothers, they took me, mashallah, they had Maulana Nasri there, Maulana Fauzi. There is one person I need to tell you, and look at the South African connection. He flew for about 1 hour, 1.5 hour. He came by plane. He's our student also. Subhanallah, his name will feature a lot. Maulana Islah. Maulana Islah was a young boy in Thailand, some sickness, and he lost his eyesight completely. Subhanallah, he heard about South Africa. He came here to Madrasatun Nur Al Makfufin in Marisburg by Maulana Marzi, and he started studying. He became Hafiz, Braille. He became Qari, he became Alim. Today he is teaching and got a madrasa in Thailand for the blind. See, brothers, what effort people put, you don't see what things can happen subsequent to that. So when he met me everywhere, he called, Ustad, Ustad. So I used to teach him sometimes, you know, and my student was teaching there, and he's still there, Sheikh Hassan from Somalia. So therefore he called me also his Ustad, and so he flew all the way Bijara. So I called him, I told him, he was waiting in the hotel. I told him, Maulana Islah, see all the programs, I don't know these other brothers, how much English they understand, but you, I know you understand very well. And you blind also, and you memorize very well, I know you. So, that you translate all my lectures. So he was over the moon, he said, fine. So this was our team. I lecture and he sits here, and he just translates everything. So first place we went to was called Masjid Rawdatul Jannah. You know in Medina you get Riyazul Jannah. Riyaz is the plural. And Rawdatul Jannah, one of the gardens of Jannah. Beautiful, nice masjid. So mashallah, let me tell you about Thailand few things. Thailand is a country more than 70 million people. So bigger than South Africa. Muslims, 8-9 million. So approximately you can say 10-11% of the population are Muslims. They have a lot of freedom there, alhamdulillah. South Africa, if you really stretch the figures, we can say we have approximately 1,000 masajid and musallas in South Africa. In Thailand, more than 6,500 masajid and more than 6,500 musallas put together. So imagine how many masajid, how many musallas there are. One thing very strange you will find in Thailand, in Vietnam, 99% of the masajid, they don't have carpets. So you read Salat on the tiles, on the marble. So there was one brother there, I know the family, very wealthy, Maimon. So I told him, So why you don't put one carpet here? He said, we got the money, everything, but yeah, when the monsoon rains come, then big problem with all the carpets. 3 months, 4 months it rains, and in the heat, it's very hot there. So we were there in winter, but the air cons and the fans, everything are on. So it is very, very humid climate there. So nevertheless, so we told you about the population, we told you about the Muslims and the masajid and musallas and so forth. Subhanallah, this is Allah's deen, my brothers. If you study the history of Thailand, you will find that the name Thailand only came into existence in 1939, 80 years ago. Prior to that, Thailand was known as Siam, S-I-A-M. And if you study the history of Bangkok, Bangkok is so beautiful with its botanical gardens and sceneries and so forth that they used to call Bangkok the Venice of the East. And for real, it is. I've been to Venice also, so in Italy and so forth. So remember, if you go there, it's very, very green, very, very, I can't say very clean, but anyway, that is very acceptable, better than South Africa, many places. So anyway, but I love South Africa. So anyway, my brothers, that, you know, this is as far as the government goes and so forth. It is a kingdom. Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala used the royal family, non-Muslims. The king, he gives his personal money to build a certain masjid or madrasa and so forth. So they're very, very sympathetic to the Muslims. From the government side also, they subsidize them. And there's a lot of freedom for them. Well, the day I arrived there, so after breakfast I saw the newspapers, I took the newspaper to see. They said elections March 24th or something like that. So after 5 years military rule, now they're going to have elections and that will be in March sometime to bring it back to civilian rule. We had to change some money. Yesterday when I was there in the other place, I told you about Vietnam. Vietnam was a lot of barakat. You take one US dollar and you change. You know, in Myanmar we say, it dong kareto, you pretending, you know. So the currency in Vietnam is called dong. So you can't forget that name. So we say, for one US dollar in Vietnam, 33,000 dong. Yeah, in Thailand, one US dollar, you get 31 baht. B-A-T-H, we go take a baht. That is B-A-H-T. They are currency B-A-H-T. Baht. So one US dollar will give you 31 baht. So that is how it works. Those of you listening on the radio, don't worry, we're still alive. Understand? All the radios are alive. I was just sipping some water. Nevertheless, now they took me to this masjid. We saw no carpets, nothing. So I asked them all the masajid like that. We used to eat in Karachi, we used to eat like that. Just on the marble and on the carpet, no carpets, on the tiles and so forth, because of the heat. So we read Salat there, and then the first program we went to the Hifz class. Subhanallah, 97 students all got kurta on, they got their turbans on, 90% had izar, some had the lungi. The rice is their staple food. If you go Indonesia, Malaysia, there's Vietnam, Thailand, breakfast, lunch, supper, they just eat the rice. And you must see how they eat. They don't eat like this with their fingers. They put the whole head inside and they eat like this, straight. So even the ustads and the students, I was watching, they put the whole head underneath and then they eat like this. So I think maybe they're very hungry, but it's a habit, you know. So from young, mashallah, they just eat like this. Day and night, they love rice. And the rice is very cheap there, mashallah. Nevertheless, so 97 students, well-dressed, mashallah, and they had 4 teachers. So I had to give them a talk, you know, regarding Quran and so forth and so on. So I told them my experience. I'm sure I shared it with you there in Uzbekistan and Russia. I'm sure I mentioned this to you. In 1924, before Lenin died, you find this is Allah's system. So he passed a decree, Lenin, just 2-3 months before he died. He told the Russians, you see that vault there, there is one book. It does not belong to us. You must give it to the Muslims there in Uzbekistan. He dies, his history. Nevertheless, the book was given, Quran Sharif, to the government there in Uzbekistan. When you go to Tashkent, Qari Sahib, mashallah, up to Quran Sharif Parate. So you should know this, Qari Sahib, that Tashkent, the old name is Shash, Usulu Shashi. So these authors and them, they come from that part of the world. So if you visit the main museum, subhanallah, you will find the Quran Sharif of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu in that museum with the blood stains of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala. So, mashallah, I was giving them all these, you know, incidents. How Almighty Allah preserved the Quran Sharif in different countries. South Africa. I'm sure this also I mentioned to you. Our elections, not this one. Our first democratic elections, 1994. Turn the clock back 2 centuries. 1794. And go before that. 1781 to 1793. Imam Tuan Guru, Qazi Abdul Salam, Rahimahullah, read 2 rakat salat for him. At Robben Island, he wrote the first Quran Sharif by memory. And that Quran Sharif is still there in Cape Town. If you go to the masjid where he was the first Imam in 1794, 200 years before our democracy, remember the showcase is there, that Quran Sharif. You know, South Africa, they steal everything. So they made a photocopy and they put the photocopy there and the original, the ulama of Cape Town got. That original copy is still there in Cape Town. And what you see in Masjid Oval where Hilton Hotel is, you just go in front, so 100 meters, 120 meters, the masjid is there. So subhanallah. First Quran. History, Robben Island. Take the Islamic Muslim history and present it to the world and show them. While I was explaining to them, I just asked them, oh my children, oh your students, how many ayats in the Quran? All 100. 6,666, you know. Some of them could say a little bit English and others in there. So I smiled. This is very common in the Ummah. They say the Quran Sharif has 6,666 verses. It's incorrect there. Remember, the Quran Sharif comprises 114 surahs and it has 6,236. 6,236. If you want a reference of this, go open Tafsir ibn Kathir and the Quran Sharif they have in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara. Look at that person, how much khidmat he made. He's also our Ustad, Sheikh Usman Taha. He's from Halab, from Aleppo. When I went to his house, I told him, Sheikh, I can't even sit on your sofa. He said, what you mean you can't sit on my sofa? I said, how many times you wrote the Quran with your own Mubarak hands? He said, 7 times. Not computer, brothers, wrote. You try and write a check 100 times, you'll put extra 0. So you must remember that he wrote the Quran Sharif cover to cover 7 times. I said, Sheikh, how long it takes you to write 1 Quran Sharif? He said, 3 years. I said, 21 years you're writing Quran. How can I say, give me your hand, I have to kiss your hand. See, brothers, what were khidmat they made, how they served. Then the government took it, Mujamma Malik Fuad took it, they put it on computer. Today more than 50 million copies, 60 million copies already distributed in the whole world. See, Allah's system, how Allah preserves the Quran Sharif. So I was relating all this to them. So if you see that Quran Sharif, look in the ending, you will see it's written there. 6,236 verses. So mashallah, they were very happy. From there, then we went across. And there is Rawdatul Atfal. There is a nursery and a creche and all that. So we addressed the appas. More than 50 appas. More than 500 students studying there. All young children. How did that madrasa, this nursery come into existence? Subhanallah. There's one Haji sahab there. His name also Abdul Qadir. Haji Abdul Qadir. We met him. He had lot of fikr, lot of concern for the children and the foundation phase, as they call. Grassroots level. 25 years ago, he said, let's start this madrasa, let's start the school, and whoever wants to come, they'll come. Subhanallah, today, fully fledged school, and the government recognizes them. And mashallah, this is something very good. All the schools, they got their madrasas, they all are recognized by the government, and there's no problem. You don't have to duck and dive and so forth. So I addressed the 50 afas, and so behind the parda, I said, my mothers, my sisters, I just want to address you on 3-4 issues. Number one, anything we do in life, JC niyat vesi barakat. Ask yourself as a mother, as a teacher, yeah, that what is your intention? So that is for all of us. Anything we do, brothers, always ask, what is our intention? We can put up a masjid, a madrasa, a school. Innamal a'malu binniyat. That's the main thing. So if the foundation is good, Allah Ta'ala makes everything flourish thereafter. Second, I said, your position is not a teacher or a ma'am. Your teacher, your position is, you are the spiritual mother of these children. The problem we face today, my brothers, 90% of our darulums, 90% of our Muslim schools, 90% of our institutions, madrasas, call whatever you want to. The emphasis is on ta'aleem. How many surahs you know, how many du'as you know, how many maslas you know. There's very little emphasis on tarbiyah. Tarbiyah is how to build the manners, the morals, the character of the child. So the child will excel, but remember for him or her to lie, or to make ghibat, or to do all these things, is part of the system. So you see, sab karte, to me bhi karta ho. Everybody is doing it, so let me do it. So today when I was driving, so there's one taxi hooted behind me. So I am Simple Simon now, so you know. Our Haji Ikhlas and the brother Muhammad Hussein and brother Ahmad, they are cars, you know, smart, smart cars I drive and all that. I'm just a driver. So this taxi guy is a hooting, so one thing I have to think is not my car first of all. So I'm telling Fatima, I better get out of the way, because for these motors, kullu halal, everything is halal for them. You know, so see, it's like that today in the world. So when we speak of ta'aleem and madrasa and of nursery, so this is what we are failing as a community, as a collective ummah. What did Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us? Hadith in Tirmidhi, ma nahala walidun nahlan ahsana min adabin hasan. O father, O spiritual father, O mother, spiritual mother, the teacher, that the greatest gift you can give your child, your student, is good character and morals. If you want incidents, Imam Abu Hanifa is there in his house. His Ustad Hamad is there. 7 streets away, there's a book called Tariqul A'zamiyah. We've been to Iraq in 2000. We went to the grave of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. So go and read this book, Tariqul A'zamiyah. Imam Abu Hanifa says, my honorable Ustad was there 7 streets away. Not one day I can remember that I stretched my feet in the direction of my Ustad's house. Look at the adab, look at the respect. Today, in class, the student will put his feet like this in front of the teacher. If teacher tell him, put your feet inside, he'll say, I'm making istihara. You understand? I'll think about it, it's alright. See? So brothers, till we don't learn this adab and respect our teachers and so forth, then it's very difficult to flourish. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is in Baghdad. Wulida bi Baghdad, wa tuwfiya bi Baghdad. He lived, he was born in Baghdad, he passed away in Baghdad. They asked him, tell us about your teacher, Ash-Shafi'i, rahimahullah. Say, what can I tell you of Shafi'i? Ash-Shafi'i ka shamsi lid-dunya. Imam Shafi'i is like the sun, how the sun illuminates the world. Imam Shafi'i came, he illuminated the whole world. We knew nothing almost. And he came, he illuminated us. See how they praise their teacher. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, brothers, students, he said, for 30 years, I would not sleep. First, I would cry and make dua for Shafi, then I would sleep. You don't become a giant, my brothers, until you make qadr of what you have. Today, we're going here in South Africa. Look at the bounties Allah gave. Did you make the dua any time, my brother? This health, this wealth, the shop, the money, what then what we got? Today, big janazah. Just go see overseas if they have a janaza, what problems they have. I was in Canada, one Ramadan, old Ramadan. Yeah, almost old. There was a janaza. So the Imam Sahib said, please, you must make the janaza. So I said, Aparale, my. I said, no, you make. So I said, chala, I'll make. So I performed the janaza. Now, for us, after janaza, we'll pick up and go to the graveyard and bury. He said, no, ab sab intizar kar. Now they come, the burial service is all non-Muslim. And they come with the tractor and I don't know what gadgets they got. And then they just put the body there, like what some gadget they got. They lower the body there, the bottom, no Muslim goes down. And they just put the body inside in the coffin goes down. They close it and pour the sand. And after that everything is flat, is a park, everybody is walking. They're walking on the grave. I witnessed with my own eyes. I started crying, there, Ya Allah. Never take my life here in this Canada. I'm the mar jayenge yahan. Imagine we just passed away and the people walking on your grave. See, brothers. So many things we just take for granted. We don't even make qadr of what we have. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik. Ya Allah, I seek your protection. These bounties that are showering, recurring upon us. Don't snatch it away from us, oh beloved Allah. This is what you must do. What can I tell you, brothers? You see, now, I can read it to you in my phone. I even feel shy, you know, but it will inspire somebody. Mona Imutala sent me a message this morning. Make dua, my father passed away. So I made dua, sent it to him. We came for janaza. We met him. In the afternoon, I was there busy with all my work, emails and that. I said, my wife said, and we're busy. Emails, WhatsApp, get everything cleared up. I told my wife, before the night program, I want everything cleaned. Emails, WhatsApp, everything. Then I see Moana Imutala. Say, Mufti Sahib, I must share something with you. Last night, I was by my father, and we were speaking. And he said, in Mufti Sahib, meaning, he gave bayan. He said, it was an excellent bayan he gave on this Vietnam and this type of things. And today he's gone, he passed away. Imagine. This is reality of life, brothers. Today we here, and tomorrow we're gone. So each one of us should think about this type of things. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, when you go to his grave, Uzbekistan, subhanallah, that Bukhari, rahimahullah, states himself, the day I heard ghibat, backbiting, gossiping is haram, my sisters and brothers, from that day, I never ever made ghibat, backbite of anybody. And I'm sure on the day of justice, Allah will never question me regarding backbiting and ghibat. Can we say that for one day in our life? For one day, can we say from Fajr time today till now, Isha time, I never backbited? Be honest, my brothers. Think about it. So mashallah, we were giving them this type of, you have to build and mold these students. That is your function. They will never forget you. That is your greatest investment. So that is what we have to do. So mashallah, then we finish with them. Then I ask them, now we have program. They say Darul Uloom. So we went to the Darul Uloom, mashallah. So I told them, what you're studying? They said, Tal Bukhari Sharif. I said, very good. I told them 2-3 incidents of Hazrat Sheikh Mohana Zakariya, Nawarallah Marqadahu, because they're studying, sitting with Bukhari Sharif and all that. I said, you know Mohana Zakariya? They said, yes. I said, Hazrat Sheikh Nawarallah Marqadahu, whose last Ramadan he spent in South Africa in Stenger. We indebted to all of Stenger and Mohana Tutla and all of them, Hafidahullah, the khidmat they made. 1981, we were there, Alhamdulillah. 1982 came first of Rajab, Hazrat Sheikh passes away. So it means that was his last Ramadan. Now listen to Hazrat Sheikh's incidents. Just 2 incidents or 3 incidents I'll give you quickly. How Allah takes work. Hazrat Sheikh Nawar Allah Marqadahu writes in Abbiti. Our people they pronounce upside down. Not Abbiti, Abbiti is my autobiography. So he wrote, he dictated. So Abbiti he wrote, he say when we reach the final year, so myself and my colleague, we said that we're going to sit in front of the Ustad, and the Ustad will teach us Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, Muslim Sharif, all this. And we will hear every hadith from the Ustad in the state of wudu. We will listen from the Ustad in the state of wudu. Now if you study India, Pakistan in the final year, the hadith lessons go on day and night almost, you understand? They just fly through it. So anyway, he say we should sit. Now we knew wuzu's going to break. So you say, I would just elbow my colleague and then tell him, ask the Ustadji a question. And I'll just run outside to the tap they make for wuzu and come back. So when he wanted to go, he would just tap his colleague, colleague wanted to go. This carried on for months. Then after a few months, 3-4 months, one Ustad understood, he said, something happening. One runs away, one asks a question. Say, what's all this? He said, no, Hazrat, we made this intention that from the starting of the year, we don't want to miss any hadith. We want to hear from the Ustad, but it must be in state of wudu. From that time, they made so much qadr of hadith. See what works Allah Ta'ala took. In Thailand, the one young Molana there, Molana Musa or Molana Sri or one of them, I'm not 100% sure, I forget their names now. He took Hazrat Sheikh's whole kitab, the Fazail-e Amal and everything, and he translated the whole book, mashallah, into Thailand language. See how much work the ulama are doing. Hazrat Sheikh Nawar Allah Marqadahu used to come to the masjid, loudly used to announce and say, that Nawaitul Itikaf ma dumtu fi hadhal masjid. I'm making intention for Nafil Itikaf as long as I'm in this masjid. He used to say loudly. Not to show off, to remind people, how many of us make intention like that? So somebody asked, Hazrat, kitne martaba aapne niyat kar li? So listen to the answer. Jawab sunne ka kabil hai. He said, Allah ke yahan ek martaba bhi kabul ho gaya, to hamare liye kafi hai. Once also is accepted, is sufficient for us. So see brothers, these are the sheikhs. So when we spoke about hadith, do we even know what is hadith, brothers? Subhanallah, it's a lecture on its own. Hadith, my brothers, we have a chain of transmission. We are the only people on this earth who have a chain. We have a chain for every hadith. Al-fadlu ma shahidat bil-adawu, to the ulama who are listening, make a note of this. There is an Oriental scholar, his name is Montgomery Watt. Montgomery Watt writes, he's a priest and an Orientalist. He wrote books, Muhammad in Makkah, Muhammad in Medina. They don't say, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously we reject all that. So we say, the master Mustafa Habibuna, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I'm trying to show you how many books he wrote. Montgomery Watt is an Orientalist. He studied Islam. He wrote about hadith. In the book, Formative Period, he says, this is his words. So he says, I studied your hadith. And I found a remarkable amount of consistency in the ahadith of Abu Dawood, Nasai and Ibn Majah. He mentions the books regarding their chain of transmission. I went through it and definitely this is something unique. Only you Muslims possess this. You have the profile of 500,000 people and no one else on the face of the earth. We have the best brothers. Why we suffer from inferiority complex? Take the best and share with the rest. Never be apologetic. Whenever we meet people, speak to them. You hear now how many people are listening to the program? Muslim and non-Muslim, we just turn the name a little bit around. Joshua phoning from Philippines, I tell him you Yusha. Michael phoning from America, I tell him you Mikhail. Someone else phoning from here. They all are thirsty, they want to know about Islam. But who's there to teach them about Islam? So we must give them the answers and give them the logical answers. They tell you that why in Islam there is no equality, men and women and all that. So I asked him, brother, where's your equality? You're from America. Last week you were playing tennis there. How come for the men you'll hit best of 5 and for the woman you'll hit best of 3? Your American 45th president you got now. How come in your history you never had female president? Last time was that she was thinking she's coming, but you all dropped her. You must stimulate their mind a little bit also. We went to all this, White House, United Nations, all this. We saw all these things, what they do. So anyway, my brothers, let's come back to the topic. So mashallah, we gave the talk to the Darul students there and told them that now when you go out to this world, the world is very, very evil. They're going to challenge you on so many things. Today you are covered by the Darul Uloom and your teachers. Then we went to Girls Darul Uloom and 4 programs we had, mashallah. So it was enough for that day. Then we slept all night after Salat and all. Then after Fajr, mashallah, we went a little bit here and there. Then program start. Now listen, it's not because I'm a main man, but what is the fact we have to say? And all of you must listen to this incident. If you go to Bangkok, there's a family. And that person is called Babu Bhai. Everybody calls him Babu Bhai. His name is Ghulam Muhammad. If you ask people, Haji Bhai Padia, what is his name? How many people will know? Very few. Bhai Mota, Bhai Padia, Rahimahullah, Allah gave him Jannatul Firdaus. So his name Ghulam Muhammad also, Bhai Padia, Rahimahullah. One day I asked him, Mota, what did he say, Ghulam Muhammad? Right. You go to Babu Bhai and ask him, tell me your history. Babu Bhai was born in India. When he was a young man, partition, now after that he came to Pakistan. Now they in Thailand past 50, 60 years. Allah Ta'ala gave him such a factory and a jewelry factory. More than 1,000 people working in that factory. When he reached the age of 40, he told his sons, "Ye bade chabi bade I gani gano. All these keys of my vepar and business, you all take it, bhai. I got no time for this now. Now I'm doing work." He came to the Merkez, headquarters there, we went there, Mirpur Merkez or something they call it. So from that time he dedicated his life to Dawat and Tabligh. Now see what they did. Thursday morning, we went to his son, Mohan Aridwan. Mohan Aridwan studied in Darul Zakaria. He stayed 6 years with his wife and 3 children. So I asked him, tell me your history. So he said, no, anehi karatu, I'm doing this. I say, how much you charge? He said, nothing. He bade mujhe portage paisa. Father is spending thousands, his personal money in the Merkez. Son is spending his personal money, you know, going collection and all. In the girls' madrasa, hundreds of students study. This ka zarf bara ho, Allah inko bara bana deta. When we have a heart, Ya Allah, for your deen, you gave us so much, we take a portion and spend for your deen, Ya Allah. Just see, Allah ne dunya mein chamka diya. See how Allah has made them, subhanallah. So we had a lecture there, then we went to the boys' madrasa, Maulana Musa, he studied in Saharanpur, there was Hazrat Sheikh, but he didn't meet Hazrat Sheikh, I asked him, he went recently and so forth, he's got 300 students there studying. So mashallah, and 90% of the Muslims there in Thailand, Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Majority of them Shafi'i, some Hanafi and some others and so forth, but mashallah, over 90% Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And many, many madaris. And our ulama, some of them have been there as well. So that was now Thursday. Thursday afternoon, they said free. So I said, what are we doing? He said, shopping. I said, oh, very good. My wife is asking me when shopping. So we took, brothers, if you go to central Bangkok, your head will spin, you know. It's very cheap, actually, things there. But the traffic and the amount of people and so forth, and the Westerners, whites, so many, for whatever reason they come, you know, it's notorious also, Bangkok, for all the vices and so forth. But the markets are busy, busy, the malls are busy, the traffic is busy and so forth. But anyway, we spend about 2 hours there and so forth. So I get tired of all these things very quickly, but make the wife happy a little bit, does that. So that was all the shopping business. Then Friday, mashallah, the same Babu Bhai, now his son, Junaid, he's running Iqra school. Everywhere this Mona Isla is still with me, the blind one. I gave him my books, you know. I told him, take this hadiah. See how our mind don't work, you know. He got a small gadget like this. I don't know, he did something like this and all that. He said, fixed up. In 10, 15 minutes, he said, I got the books now, all are in Braille. Now I can read it in Braille. I just gave him the book, and then after 10 minutes, he said, fixed the whole thing, sorted out, meaning he transferred it into Braille. So see how Allah Ta'ala gave them the means that they can study and all this type of thing. So from there, mashallah, now we had to go to that school. Brothers, this Iqra school, Babu Bhai's son, Junaid. I said, Junaid kada hai? He said, Junaid is going in Tabligh. I said, speak, put me through, I want to speak to him. I said, Ba, I'm here in your school and you ran away. He said, no, I didn't know you're coming in there anyway. Just joking. 1,100 students studying in a Muslim school there in Bangkok. No collection, no nothing. Junaid Bhai is running. Now you tell me. Go see the school and everything.
See. So brothers, like our ikhlas behind them. It's not because he's here or his father is here. You understand? I always tell them, I can only make dua for you all. You understand what you're doing for us? What you did, what you're doing, what you will do for the ummah. So brothers, it's only Allah. Qarun also had wealth. You saw what happened to him. Nabi Sulaiman had millions and billions and trillions and zillions. And he spent it. So each one of us, you take one project. Last night I announced, there's one brother here, I don't know him, maybe he's here. The other day already contacted me. He said, I'm going to Vietnam, tell me what you need, I'll take all the books we need. So today also we have communication. So he told me, these are the books they need. I said, yes. I see, but whatever other books you got, take for them. They need a lot of books there. So you go to these countries, this, visiting the garden, the largest mammal in the world you will find in Thailand. The smallest mammal in the world you will find in Thailand. But be honest to me, you tell me, come visit this. It don't really interest me. But maybe we'll just go and just see. I think, come nice, all right. But I didn't see it. I understood? But when I do reading, I read about these things here. They say one of the most beautiful gardens are there. We just pass one, two and finish. This is what we want to see. What they need. What they can do, inshallah, to preserve Islam. And inshallah, they take Islam further and so forth. So that is what we want. Thereafter, mashallah, that I told them, I must meet Babubai and I must meet Haji Abdul Qadir. They said, no, Jummah time, they will be there. That masjid in Bangkok is called Masjidul Islah. Again, no carpets, no nothing. So we were there on time, and then they said, okay, because of translation, all that, I must speak 20 minutes and so forth, because people are, you know, working day. So mashallah, the masjid's name, Masjid Islah, and the translator's name also, Maulana Islah. You see, and Allah make our Islah also, you see. So mashallah, so we spoke, so I knew that from there, very few people must have went to Japan and South Korea and all this. So I told them, today's bayan is a karguzari. I'll give you the report back of the work of Dawat and Tabligh, because it's like Tabligh headquarters also. So not all the Jamaat brothers were there, many of them. So I said that I'll speak to you how Jamaat work started in Japan, how it started in South Korea, how the work is flourishing, how people from different backgrounds are coming into the work. So mashallah, when we finished there, then I met Babubai. Then I told him, Haji Sahab, the work, I asked him, Haji Umar Ketri. He said, 82 years old. 82, still active, and still every day in the markaz. You see, this is barakat of deen. Our Maulana Qasim Shema, you know, we in Darulum, this Qari Sahab, who read now, Rav Sahab. I asked him before he left, I said, whose son you are, Maulana Suleiman Goga? He said, yeah. I said, give your father salams. Maulana Suleiman Goga, myself, Maulana Khalid, mashallah, he came afterwards. Our principal was Maulana Qasim Shema. So Maulana Qasim Shema, now, Appa passed away, and then Allah gave her Jannatul Firdaus, very, very good lady. She did so much for the students in Darul. Anyway, Maulana got married, you know, and he brought a wife from Cape Town. Now, we got students, you know, from Cape Town. So in Darul that time. And he said, yeah, Maulana, it's veer khatro, you know. Say, Maulana, the other guy said, what dung ye? Maulana is the oath, your coat. Maulana is oath, but is the coat. You understand? What do you? You think Maulana is old and cold? No, Maulana is the oath and coat. After 1 year, Maulana's wife gave birth. Maulana is over 80 years old. You understand? You see, akad yung kasi. You see? Then our students say, Maulana, we want akika. You know, keep down there, mashallah, the youngsters. So Maulana give akikah and all that also, mashallah. So spiritual father, you see, like that. So these are spiritual fathers. So the Babubai is there, I said to him, I said, mashallah. I said, when I'm going now from there, I went to Vietnam. I said, the whole journey, I can only think about you and your family. What things you're doing here? Come, magaj kaam na kare, you know. Allah gave you such a big factory. You left everything. You say, Ya Allah, I'm looking after this markaz. I'm looking after the school. I'm looking after the madrasa. I'm looking after the Darul Uloom. And what were things? Subhanallah. Then I met Haji Abdul Qadir. Now listen to his story. Haji Abdul Qadir, what you will call Tablighi. Haji Abdul Qadir says, my daughters are here in Thailand. You know, Thailand, to find a lady with ijar is something very rare, you know. They just wear all short pants and all these kind of things there. So, and people get impacted with all these negative things there. He said, I better do something. He came to South Africa and he brought his three daughters. He put them at Mufti Ismail's Madrasa. They studied there 5 years, everything. Each one graduated, each one married to a Maulana. This one and this one running girls' madrasa, that one running boys' madrasa, this one running. One is Mohana Fauzi, his son is Mohana Nasri, his other son is Mohana Sajid. The two sons, Maulanas, three daughters, Alimas, and mashallah, now they're all running madrasas in Darul Uloom. South African connection. So I told him, Haji Sahib, you, how many times you came? He said, I came many times. So I said, Ajib, we never ever met, first time I'm meeting you. So he said, no, I just used to go madrasa and stay in that. I shouldn't go a lot of places. And so subhanallah, look at the sacrifices they made. You know, when I went in 74 to go study Pakistan, my parents, what would I tell you? Ramadan came, so they tell me, Gare Aj. I said, no. From Karachi, I will go home. I'll go to Makkah, Medina, and you all come from South Africa. We'll meet there. They said, fine. So whole Ramadan we spent there. Then father, mother said, they're going Zurich and here and there, and oh, I don't London, I don't know where. Anywhere. Say, come, I'll write it for you ticket. I said, no, daddy, I like it here, Makkah, Medina. I'll stay here, and I'll meet you in Pakistan. See, you know, parents love, you know. So when they came to Pakistan, my parents, so I arrived 2-3 days before them. So I went to fetch them in hotel. Put them in the hotel, and next day they came to, and this madrasa is the best madrasa in whole Pakistan. No, Newton madrasa, Hazrat Binduri's time. Hazrat Binduri passed away in 77. Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus, big sheikh he was. Allama he was. So my mother and father came to the madrasa. See father's love and mother's love. You see. My mother tell me, you pack your bag up now, and you're coming home. I said, but ma, kulai. He said, but he did lita, he did in. She used a Memon word, I can't forget. Right. He said, you know, Pakistanis, they eat pan and they just spit everywhere. So the walls are all red. He said, but they lita, he did, but you put the hite pare. You understand? All this red marks, my son must study here. You just pick up and come home. What do you have to study here? My father told me that. So I said, nah, mama, keep on. My father also, now my mother also, you know, saying, so father say, too many flies here, etra maki in there, you pick up and come, and this type of thing. One is complaining of the flies here, one is complaining of the path. You know, understood? So imagine they made all the sacrifice. After that, I said, no, alhamdulillah, Allah's fazl. So yeah, same thing. Subhanallah, the fathers, they left. They are daughters, and they went away. After 5 years, 6 years, maybe whatever, they went. Sons came to South Africa, they studied. And subhanallah, go see. So my brothers, Allah has made South Africa such a place. You go to every big Darul Uloom. You go Newcastle, you go Azad Wal Zakaria, Ye Talimuddin, you have a camp down, wherever. You will find majority of the students are foreigners. Why? Because they realize that from South Africa, now they can go, and subhanallah, that they will have direction. Allah has chosen them. So mashallah, we had the Jummah, we had the lunch, everything, and then I had to run to the airport, rush to the airport, and then first in my life I went with Thai Airlines. So I flew. There also one story took place, they gave me seats, you know. So I told that lady, I think she's a purser they call, you know, purser is the main shot of all. I told her, ma'am, look at your seats and look at my size, I think you made this for the Chinese, you know. So she started laughing, yes sir, I'll sort you out just now. So I said, okay, let me sit. So then, after 10 minutes, 15 minutes, she came back. She said, I got seat for you. But your wife, she can't come. I said, why? She said, no, we push her in a wheelchair. I got nice exit seat for you. You go sit there. Your wife sit here. So I told my wife, I said, there's nobody next to you here. And just sit here. I'll go sit that side there. So mashallah, so that is how our trip came to an end in Thailand. So very good, brothers. Everywhere is good, provided we go with the right intention. Go and ask them how we can help them, how we can assist them. Till today, mashallah, that Moana Islah, the blind translator, is telling me, when you coming back, when you coming back? So brothers, you must remember, everywhere they thirsty. Allah has given us this opportunity to travel in different parts of the world. I told you the touring and seeing, for me, I'm speaking, is very secondary. It doesn't interest me much. But these places we go, see what the Muslims are doing, what the ulama are doing, what they need. We got so many kitabs here in South Africa. Subhanallah. That if you take libraries from here, they will appreciate it. And you see Vietnam, that man asked me, he told me we don't even have part one. He asked me that Yasnal Quran we don't have. Imagine. You understood? You go here, you come to Malaysia, we got 50 masjids there. They got one box there, every masjid, all the old kitabs they just put in. That box is full every week, I think. So imagine, brothers.
So please, brothers, last thing and finish now, because we'll make dua as now and finish. Last message is tonight is Laylatul Jumu'ah. This is very serious. I'll speak of it tomorrow night, inshallah. See, brothers, if you know what is happening in the world, our Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, Masjidul Aqsa are all under threat from the enemies. At this point in time, while speaking to you, the greatest threat is at Masjidul Aqsa. The settlers are coming in day and night with police. And remember, this year is election year in Israel. So you must remember, the more zulm you make, the more you oppress the Palestinian, the more votes they will get. You know what is apartheid. I was born in apartheid, you were born in apartheid. If you know Afrikaans, they should tell the white man that you must vote for the Nationalist Party. If you don't vote for the Nationalist Party, then there is Swart Khafar. You know what is Swart Khafar? Then the Africans will take over if you don't vote. And you saw what they did. It was an easy tactic they used. So this is the same tactic the Zionist apartheid regime is using. That you must vote for us. Because we only got one child, two children, three. And these Palestinians, the more we oppress them, mashallah, they make more children. Don't understand? So you must remember this type of thing here. So this is how it is. So brothers, at least you can't do anything. Tonight read 2 rakat salat after Isha. Raise your hand. اللهم احفظ بلاد الحرمين الشريفين من كل سوء ومكروه اللهم طهر المسجد الاقصى من اليهود الغاصبين يا الله protect the حرمين الشريفين protect مسجد الاقصى. We make dua now, inshallah. Quarter past 8 is azan and then is salat, inshallah. We thank all the radio stations. We thank the capital group, Haji Muhammad Ikhlas, his parents, mashallah, brothers, the entire team of all the Markaz Sahaba and Radio Lansar and of Sirius FM. Jazakumullah khairan. So inshallah we'll continue tomorrow Jummah at Masjid An-Nur and night inshallah in Northway Masjid. I think first time I'm going there inshallah. We make dua quickly inshallah.
سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.